The Why Tesla Model Y podcast. If you are a prospective Model Y buyer, a Model Y owner, or just can't get enough on Tesla and the Model Y in general, then you're in the right spot. Here at the Why Tesla Model Y podcast, we primarily follow the weekly happenings and news over on the r/Tesla Model Y subreddit. Back when I was in the market for a Tesla, I was searching endlessly for a podcast solely focused on the Model Y, which didn't exist. So I ended up on Reddit and other forums to learn more about the vehicle. But I've always preferred audio content versus scrolling, especially on my 30 plus minute daily commute. So if you resonate with any of what I just mentioned, you are in the right place. The Why Tesla Model Y podcast, folks, this is episode 10. I appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, I know we're growing listeners and followers daily and weekly. So I appreciate all you guys out there, especially those that have been here since episode one, right from the beginning. But I appreciate all the new folks as well. If it sounds like I'm whispering, I quite literally am, as the only time I can record this podcast is after I put my daughter to bed. So she's asleep in the other room. I'm trying not to wake her. So bear with me if I sound like I'm in a sexy whisper throughout the episode. Also battling a cold, so apologize for sniffles, coughs that you may hear unedited around here. So we just keep it rolling for 30 straight minutes. Let's jump straight into it. Episode 10, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 posts that caught my attention over this past week. Post number one, this is from user throwaway723774. It says, Tesla not hurrying Project Juniper. If it ain't broken, don't try and fix it. What to do? Question mark. And so this post, it links to a Forbes article, which I read, and let me read the body of this Reddit post first. So it reads, I just read the linked article, and the source states that as Model Y is really popular, Tesla is not hurrying the Model Y update. Excuse me. I tried the current Model Y and the new Model 3 and liked the features of the 3 but need the space from the Y. How would you approach this? I don't want to be the last person to buy a Model Y before the new one is released with, possibly, the features I would like. So, before I get into the comments, this is a recurring theme in the Y Tesla, excuse me, not that's the podcast, in the r/Tesla Model Y subreddit. This is a recurring theme of, man, do I hold out? And I've read through a similar situation in a previous podcast, but a lot of people are in that phase of, man, prices are pretty attractive right now, relatively low, plus the federal tax credit. Do I pull the trigger now with the Model Y as is, or do I wait out for another year or two in hopes of, you know, the Project Juniper, the Model Y refresh in full production? So for starters, I read this Forbes article. It's very, very brief. And in short, if you want to save the time, don't want to read it, there's nothing new in the article. It's written by Brooke Crothers, nothing against her, contributor to the Forbes site. But it basically lays out the market. It says, you know, essentially as Rivian unveils the R2 and the R3, there's pressure on the Model Y to potentially release Project Juniper. So it refers to, you know, the Model Y is, you know, relatively outdated, but it goes on to say, Tesla has slowly been refining the Model Y over the last few years, and they basically perfected the formula. And they're taking the approach of, as the post read, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I think there's something to that, and that obviously the Model Y was the best-selling vehicle in 2023, not just across EVs, but across all vehicles in the U.S. Excuse me, I take that back. I think it was worldwide. Somebody check my facts there. Again, I'm not a Tesla expert. I just aggregate the the stories and bring them to you guys. But y'all know what I'm referred to. I've mentioned it in a previous podcast as well. You guys have all seen the ad campaign, real life ad campaign. Tesla's running with a Cybertruck pulling a flatbed trailer with a what looks to be a glass box on it. saying the best-selling vehicle of 2023, and it's got a Model Y in it. Not sure if you guys have seen that, but it's floating around the web, floating around the subreddit as well. So anyway, that's really my only takeaway from this article. There was nothing groundbreaking other than, hey, Rivian's got some new EVs. Here's the current price of the Tesla Model Y. And oh, by the way, Tesla doesn't seem to be in a rush. But it's all third-party opinion, same as we kind of do on the show. So nothing of true note relating to Project Juniper, a Model Y refresh. I was thinking I would click into that article and it would be a, you know, hidden post from Elon over on X on Twitter, talking about, you know, expect it to be released in 2027, or you know, commentary by an engineer or designer saying they're in no rush or something of the sort, or something relatively newsworthy to suggest that the Juniper will be delayed. But there was nothing in that article. So nothing against throwaway 723-774. I think they're truly just a prospective buyer in the market, as many of you are, considering, do I pull the trigger now at a decent price point, or do I hold out another year or two in hopes of a refresh? excuse me. Let me read through some of the comments, because I think a lot of these are very blunt to the point, but that's what folks kind of need in this situation. Top comment, 106 upvotes, reads, just buy the Model Y when you want it. There's always going to be a newer model. Honestly, probably better to buy the one they've been building for 4 years already. So to pause there, obviously 106 upvotes, most folks agree with that, in that it's true. Like, I think about it, I just bought a Model Y back in January of 2024, right when that Model Y refresh Project Juniper is released. They've probably got a screen in the rear, probably removed the stocks, very similar to the Model 3 refresh we saw earlier this year. Naturally, there will be some FOMO of, oh man, that's the next best thing. I love my Model Y, but if only I could get that upgrade. There will always be a newer model, a new shiny object out there. And so it's, you know, keeping up with the Joneses to a certain extent. You got to go with, you know, you just got to have a plan. As I've mentioned it before, but some people will post asking for financial advice. Does this deal, do these loan terms, is this the right stage of my life? Should I pull the trigger? Nobody can answer that for you. It's really just a personal decision of put yourself in those shoes. If I pull the trigger now, I'm happy with the price point. I'm in a financial spot to where it makes sense. Am I happy with the current functionality to where I can own that car and be happy for 5 to 10 plus years? Or when that Juniper releases, am I going to be hating my life? If it's the latter, perhaps you hold out for a couple more years. If you've got a car that ain't broke, keep driving what you got, and then perhaps keep stashing away money for that refresh that comes out in hopefully a year or two. There's some more, I think, helpful feedback on here, though. So enough of me. Let me read through a few more of these comments. The next most upvoted comment from LFlacco93. It says, how badly / soon do you need the car? Keyword, need. If you don't, just wait it out. The thing stopping me from waiting for the Juniper is the expected price jump. And on top of that, also possibly losing the tax credit. So I agree with part of that. I'm not sure about the Juniper losing the tax credit. Frankly, I'm not sure why it would, unless the federal government just pulls EV rebates across the country and across all vehicles. But I think that first bit is absolutely worth noting, and that you got to think the second a Model Y refresh is rolled out, there's going to be a price jump. Not just for the Juniper and for the refresh models, but for all Model Ys, given increased, you know, traction and ground and attention to the Model Y. I wish I had an antidote to plug in about the Model 3 and when they released the Model 3 refresh. What prices did, unfortunately I don't, but that's probably worthwhile to read, to look up. Let me wrap up with this comment. I was in the same boat, wondering if waiting was worth it, but I decided it was not for a few reasons. First off, the 2024 model is a big step up from the ones from 3 to 4 years ago. Better suspension, quieter ride, heat pump, faster processors, you name it. Second, the price for Model Y models are crazy low right now, and you can't beat the deals on current inventory. I got my Model Y long range before Q1 ended, and with incentives, I paid less than a new V6 Toyota Camry. And lastly, who knows when they'll announce the Highland version? It could be tomorrow or in 2 years. I think Highland was the Model 3, wasn't it? I think they mean Juniper there, but anyway. And then it'll take even more time for those cars to hit the market. So, worthwhile feedback there. Final comment, sorry, this is the last one I'll read. This is like any other consumer product out there. You want it, get it. You want the latest and greatest, you should never buy one. Fair. You got to think, though, I think, as I mentioned with the article, the one takeaway I had and what I think is a fair point is with the R2 launch by Rivian, that's got to light a fire under Elon's butt and all of Tesla to get that refresh for the Juniper underway so that it remains the best-selling vehicle across the country, across the world, if it can. Especially to keep up with the R2, which Rivian is known for their still minimalistic, but a bit more luxurious than Tesla's minimalistic approach. All right, next post that caught my attention over the past week, and to be honest, I mean, the past couple of podcasts, a lot of focus was put on full self-driving. I'm almost burnt out on full self-driving posts. This will be the last one, hopefully, in a while. There were quite a few more that did actually catch my attention that I read through over this past week that I'm not even going to talk about on today's episode. I tried to limit it to one full self-driving bit for this week. So I know that's all I feel like we've been talking about for the past couple weeks. But this is a post from Capital Egg 3288. If you've been really plugged in to the Tesla world at all over the past week, you've probably seen this already. But this reads, full self-driving monthly subscription reduced by $100. So for those following along, the full self-driving subscription, if you pay monthly, used to be $200 a month. And a lot of the comments for the folks that were using full self-driving throughout the trial period when it was free, frankly still is free, are and were saying, man, if only Tesla dropped the monthly subscription price down to $50, to $75, to $99, then I'd be more likely to get it. Well, Tesla's done that. They now cut it by 50%. So you got to think it's, I think, just a well-executed plan by Tesla. One, they're getting all of the feedback, all of the learnings from users across the country, and I almost said world, but I think it was just here in the U.S. that got the free trial. They're getting all the learnings from those vehicles, putting the beta to the actual test. But they're also getting the folks that would never pay $12,000, $15,000 for full self-driving or the $200 a month to never actually try it out. Those folks actually get to dip their toe in, potentially get addicted to this full self-driving tech the same way they are and most are to Tesla in general. And then perhaps that converts to subscribers to full self-driving. If that wasn't enough with the free trial, they've cut their price in half, as I mentioned, for the full self-driving monthly subscription, down from $200 to $99 a month. So this post reads, full self-driving monthly subscription reduced by $100 from $199 to $99. Does that indicate full self-driving price will be $6,000 and enhanced autopilot will be included? My sentiment there is absolutely not, but let's keep reading. What do you think? My view, auto park lane change, traffic light stop should be standard features in all Tesla. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? In that case, more people will be going towards Tesla. So let me read through a few of these comments. And actually, I guess before I do that, I'll give my quick thoughts. I would like to see them lower the price of full self-driving to buy it outright. It shouldn't be. I think it's $12,000 currently. $6,000, I think that's absolutely fair. At the point of purchase of the vehicle, you're getting the tax credit. I mean, shoot, just have it offset the tax credit for $7,500, for $8,000. It just, $12,000, I'd be curious to see what percentage of buyers are actually buying the full self-driving at the point of purchase of the vehicle, because you've got to think it's single digits percentage-wise of people that are actually doing that. But I do like the sentiment here of auto park, lane change, and traffic light stop should be standard features in standard autopilot. The traffic light stop, that may be asking too much. Even auto park may be asking too much. But I think just lane change on autopilot, I love it. Even if it's not the as full self-driving, it'll lane change based on the navigation where you're going. I'm not even asking for that. I'm just simply asking for when you're on autopilot, perhaps you want to get into the fast lane. If I could tap the left gear stalk, move over to that left lane, turn the blinker on, boom, it automatically moves you over. That's all we need. Rather than the second you flip on that turn signal, you nudge the steering wheel, it disengages autopilot, and you have to reset it. Small thing, but agree. I wish that was included and not a part of enhanced autopilot. Let's check this. So, top comment says, can somebody with enhanced autopilot check and confirm what the price is for subscription from enhanced autopilot to full self-driving? Previously, it was $99 to increase your subscription from enhanced autopilot to full self-driving. Somebody as of 3 days ago said, I just checked, it's still $99. So you got to think that's a good point. They're probably going to reduce that if you currently have enhanced autopilot and want to make the jump and upgrade to full self-driving. Another comment, even for point redemption, 3 months of full self-driving changed from 10,000 points to 6,000 points. So another reduction and discount there. Man, oh man, another comment here. I paid $15,000 last year for full self-driving outright. The OP says, I can understand your pain. That's pretty cool. Another comment on here says, if you're in Canada, $99 Canadian, which is 71 US dollars. So folks up in Canada finally catching a break. I hope it rolled out to you guys, but I did see one post that the full self-driving trial for a month did not make its way up to Canada or anywhere else. It was just in the US. So hopefully you guys were given access to the full self-driving trial for a month, or do get access to a trial here soon. I'd be curious to hear if anybody does have access to it up there. Another comment, I think the $99 was the perfect point, but for me, this free trial proved it's not ready to pay for. Glad the price came down for people who enjoy it. Man, see that indicates that, you know, did the 1 month free trial backfire, and that folks that are, you know, seeing influencers post about full self-driving, expecting it to be perfect, ready to go, I can take a sleep, I can eat a pizza in my car while it's driving me. No, you should absolutely never do that, even if it is perfect. But I think a lot of folks that tried it, myself included, realized it's not perfect. It's far from perfect. You still got to be very close to the wheel. You still got to nudge the wheel every now and then. You still got to closely monitor it. There are tiny nuances like very aggressive lane changes to where it cuts folks off, unintentionally or not, that I, you know, just wasn't comfortable with for full self-driving. So I found myself, I mean, it's April 15th now, I've turned off the full self-driving free trial completely and just gone back to my basic autopilot, which is more than enough for me. So perhaps it ate into revenue a little bit. You got to think some folks that, to play devil's advocate, may have eventually subscribed at $200 a month for full self-driving, just because they hadn't tasted it, they hadn't tried it before. So sure, maybe they used it for a month, they cancel, Tesla's not missing out on $200. But if folks now have a taste of it, they would have otherwise potentially subscribed. Now there's no chance because they got a taste and had a bad experience. That's the flip side to the free trial. But Elon's smart. He knows what he's doing. Good press, bad press. Exposure is exposure. And surely they'll increase overall number of subscribers with lowering the cost and giving people the taste of it with the free trial. All right. Full self-driving. Let's move off the topic. We've talked about it ad nauseum over the past few weeks. Next post that caught my attention over the past week. Interesting one. So it's from Kate5667, and it didn't catch my attention. I didn't click into it while I first saw it. It was 8 days ago it was posted. I didn't click into it and follow up on it until there was a second post from this user that went a little bit more in depth. So let me just refer to what I'm talking about here. The post reads, "Tips for free charging etiquette." It says, "Left the Model Y on a free public charger today with a note to text me to unlock the charging port. Anyone have a little more sophisticated way to do this? I thought I could make a sign with magnets for easy reuse. Would love some other ideas." So for reference, as the post reads, this user is charging their Model Y at a free charging station. And so that free is the key word here, in that if this was a paid charging station, you wouldn't want anybody taking the plug out of your vehicle and plugging it into theirs. That causes issues with payment. You don't want to pay for their session, etc. But there's a little ripped off piece of paper that literally just says, "We'll finish at 12:30 p.m. Call or text and I'll unlock the charge port for you." So basically, I wouldn't say this is standard free charging etiquette. This is a top tier etiquette. So power to Kate5667 for the top tier free charging station etiquette. Basically saying, hey, it'll finish at this time, but I probably won't be back at my car to unplug it at this time. So if anybody pulls up next to me and needs a charge, text me at this number. I'll unlock the charge port. You can access the charger, take it out, plug it into your vehicle. And again, because it's a free charger, there's no billing implications either way. So I think this is a great move. Thinking as a Model Y driver myself, I probably wouldn't do this. I would just, and typically, and I mentioned I use the Volta free charger, typically what I do is I monitor the percentage throughout the day. Once it's getting close to finished, I'll head back over to my car and pick it up and drive back. So it's not sitting at the charging station plugged into a charger where it doesn't need it and it's topped off. But this is a good move for situations like that where you may need the voltage, you may need the charge, but it's going to be topped off, you know, a few hours before you can get back to the vehicle. So top comment says, "That's nice of you." Another user says, "I put my phone number next to the charge port using a label maker for this very reason. When not charging, it's covered by the port charger." That's smooth. Again, why this post caught my attention was not necessarily for that post, but by the follow-up post. The follow-up post posted 3 days ago, so 5 days in between. Same user, Kate5667, also shares a photo, but it reads, "After sharing a free charging station with a few very courteous humans earlier this week, I'm happy to report that my $11 custom magnet idea works perfectly. It's dry erase friendly and connects to a Google Voice number for privacy. Tesla app has a remote charge port unlock feature, so as long as other owners stay gentle with the port, I'm hoping it works. Please steal my idea." Also, a few folks brought up the PlugShare app, but after installing, I saw that the specific location I was using for free charging had not had a check-in for quite some time. Planning to use this in tandem with the PlugShare app. So, it's a photo, as the post reads, of a... It's a massive magnet. It's about the size of a sheet of paper stuck on the side of the vehicle. It's in white on a dark gray vehicle, so it stands out like a sore thumb. Thankfully, it's a magnet, so it can be removed and placed on there just when you're charging. But it looks better. I mean, it's a magnet, not a ripped up piece of paper. It says the charge finishes at blank. And so you can write on with the dry erase marker when your charge finishes up. And then it says call or text this number and I'll unlock the charge port for you. So, it's cool to see that the post garnered some good feedback. Seemingly, a lot of folks agree that's great free charger etiquette. This person took it to the next level. Rather than using a piece of paper every time, boom, slap the magnet on your vehicle and let folks know if they need to take the charger. Go for it. Just text this number. I'll unlock the port for you so that way you can actually pull out the charger. Not a bad move. I think, honestly, my favorite... sentiment or use case or solution along these lines is what that comment said that I read earlier, and that, you know, when you open the charge port, the little door, the little light pops up revealing the charge port. I think that's a great idea. Use a label maker and plug in your phone number right there, and perhaps one more little label on there saying, if you need me to unlock the port, text this number. I think that's a great idea. So it's not a big obnoxious, you know, foot 15 inch long magnet on stuck to the side of your door blasting your phone number to everybody. But if somebody cares enough to get that close to your vehicle to see, can I take out this charger, they can at least see, oh, this guy's got a phone number right here, I can text him to have him unlock it, and I can use the charger. I won't spend much more time here. It's a very unique situation, for particularly for free charging stations. Many other situations this would not apply, but charging etiquette in general, if you're not at a supercharger, I mean, most folks at a supercharger, they stay with their vehicle, they leave right when it's finished and go hit the road. If you are, however, at a paid charging station in a popular location, a supermarket, at a movie theater, outside a, you know, shopping mall, restaurant, you know what I'm referring to. Basically, any of those charging stations that are paid for, that you can find on the PlugShare app, please monitor the state of charge of your vehicle. If you're paying for a charging station, there's probably very few in a very populous area. Monitor the state of charge of your vehicle. The most frustrating thing is when you need a charge, you pull up, you go out of your way to go charge at this location, but it's being plugged into another vehicle that's already at a full state of charge. So when your vehicle's fully charged, move it away from the dang charger so other people can use it. Just my two cents on charging etiquette in general. Final post that caught my attention over this past week. This one I just caught today. So this is one from user McLovin8. Posted 22 hours ago. It says, as my car approaches 15,000 miles, is there anything I should consider or be aware of? Now, it's got a photo, great looking photo, great lighting of a vehicle in a garage, black Tesla Model Y. I think it's a great question. The beauty of Teslas, as I've talked about quite a bit, especially in the early episodes, is that routine maintenance you don't need with a Tesla, other than tire rotations, replacing the tires every 30,000 miles or so, washer fluid touch-ups, maybe get new wiper blades every now and then. Outside of that, you don't have to worry about things. You know, oil changes, even state inspections are less expensive for those of us down here in Texas. A lot of the routine maintenance, the parts that may fail, transmissions, little things like that, thankfully you just don't need. So you end up spending far, far less in not only gas, but service, you know, recurring oil changes and things of this sort every 3,000 to 5,000 miles that you would do with a gas powered vehicle. But I think it's a fair point. Again, my car is at 35,000 miles or so now. It's a 2021 Model Y. So this user, McLovin8, they're approaching 15,000 miles, basically wondering, anything I should be aware of? Don't need an oil change, of course. Don't even have an engine in the front. So is there anything I need to be looking out for? One says, refill the wiper fluid. A reply to that says, and maybe wipe the seats down. Other comments, absolutely nothing. My Model Y is at 25,000 miles and feels the same way it did at 15,000 or zero. Still rides amazing and costs nothing in maintenance. one comment says, blinker fluid. Okay, now this is helpful. This says, owner's manual recommended maintenance, with a link to the owner's manual. So I'll let me actually pull that up or read through that here in a bit. One comment says, check your tires. I only get 20,000 or so miles out of mine, but I like to throw the car around. Another comment, I think for me, the paint on my Model 3 Long Range 2021 and Model Y performance 2023 to now has been a pain point. I won't read the rest of this. It's rather lengthy, but paint. Check the chips. Perhaps a paint touch-up, a wrap, something of the sort. One says detail the car. One says tires. Change air filters every 20,000 miles. Check your tire. excuse me. Check your tire tread. Is another comment on there. So, let me read through that real briefly. From the Tesla site, from the Model Y owner's manual, the maintenance service intervals that you should be aware of. So, as you would see in the owner's manual, the suggested maintenance pamphlet that you get with gas-powered vehicles, this is all that it reads from the actual Tesla Model Y owner's manual. Brake fluid health check every 4 years, replace if necessary. AC, air conditioning bag replacement, every 4 years. Cabin air filter replacement, every 2 years. HEPA air filter replacement, every 3 years. Clean and lubricate the brake calipers every year or every 12.5 thousand miles. That's 12,500 miles if you're in an area where roads are salted during the winter. And then lastly, rotate the tires every 6,250 miles, 10,000 kilometers, or if the tread depth difference is 2 over 32 inches, 1.5 millimeters or greater, whichever comes first. So, basically, if you're in an area where they salt the roads, perhaps clean, lubricate the brake calipers, monitor the tire tread, rotate them every 5,000 to 7,000 miles, and then every 2 to 4 years, check the brake fluid, make sure it looks okay, replace basically everything related to the AC bag, and your filters, and that's it. Other than that, maybe a new set of tires at 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 miles, 20,000, 15,000, depending on how you drive. But that's it. That's the beauty of the Tesla, is those recurring maintenance charges, oil changes that add up. Man, I'm telling you, I had a 2013 Kia Optima. My last service appointment was just over $1,000 because they found, the car drove fine, but they found tons of items, you know, the belt itself on the engine needed replacing because that was getting worn down. There were a lot of little things that just after 90,000 miles began to add up, and they highly suggested you replace. So thankfully that is not the case with Tesla. Makes it a lot easier. And I get paranoid about it too, as in, man, at 35,000 miles, is there something I need to be doing maintenance-wise? I think my car is okay, but is there anything I need to be watching out for? So wanted to read that post for that reason. I think it's a fair point. It's a totally different world coming from a gas-powered car. Finally, last thing I wanted to wrap the show with was I geek out on the numbers. So checking out the podcast analytics, Spotify, Apple Podcasts allows you at least to see some high-level metrics, followers, listeners, you know, do people drop off halfway through the episode because they're uninterested, you know, where your top listener base is in what geographical region are they in, what's the age demographic. So I just wanted to read off a couple things. One, where our top listener base is, as in where out in the world are folks listening from. But then also the age demographic. This one I think is interesting. It may catch you by surprise. But to start with the top listener bases, so the top listener locations, this kind of caught me by surprise. And that the top most popular listener location, so the biggest percentage of our listeners, is in New York, of all places. So that kind of caught me by surprise. 12% of our listener base is in New York. The next two, I figured, would be in the top three. 11% of the listener base is in California. 9% of you guys are in Texas. Shout out to my Texans out there. 5% are in Georgia. 5% are in Oregon. We've got nearly every state at this point represented. Even Hawaii, shout out to whoever the heck listened out there in Hawaii, less than 1%. So I imagine it was, honestly, probably one of you guys on vacation, happened to catch a bit of the podcast. You got to think while on an airplane or in an Uber or on the way to the resort in Hawaii. If you're listening out in Hawaii, please turn it off. Quite honestly, I appreciate you guys, but enjoy the dang vacation. You don't need to be geeking out on Teslas while you're out there on vacation, unless you live there. Shout out to those listening in Hawaii. Unfortunately, one of the states we do not have representation is Alaska. We got Idaho, we got Nevada, we got states all across the country, so I appreciate you guys tuning in. No Alaska just yet. So if you do happen to visit Alaska, take a vacation up there, you know a friend, you tune into Alaska, let me know. Let's check that baby off the list as well. There's a ton of other states at 1, 2, 3, maybe 4% that I'm not going to bother to read. But shout out New York, California, Texas, the top three listener bases for the show. Age demographic-wise, this one may catch you by surprise. But for starters, and you can kind of think through and perhaps take a guess as to where you think the bulk of our listener base is age-wise, the age ranges that I'll read off the percentages here in a bit, category 1 is age 23 to 27, category 2, 28 to 34, category 3, 35 to 44 in age, category 4, 45 to 59, and finally 60 plus. So we've got representation in each of those age demographics. The distribution may catch you off guard, but anyway, I'll read through it. So in the 23 to 27 age range, that makes up only 2.8% of you guys. So 2.8% of our listeners. Now it spikes quite a bit once you get to 28 to 34 in age. That's 20%. So 20% of the listeners to the show are age 28 to 34. Now we get into the bigger numbers, not just age-wise, but percentage makeup-wise of you guys and listeners of the show. Age 35 to 44 makes up 34% of the listenership of the show, so I appreciate you guys. However, it doesn't stop there. As we get older in age, the percentages and the listenership grows as well. 37%. So the most dominant age range that listens to the show is age 45 to 59. So shout out to my folks out there, 45 to 59. You make up 37% of the listeners of the show. And then even our folks over 60 plus, make up 5.6% of the show. So whether you are 23 or you are 60 plus, we span quite the range of folks that listen to this show, both in age, in location, as I just listed off. Nearly every state across the country is covered. Unfortunately, not Alaska yet, but we'll get there. But that's really what the show was set out to be. I mentioned why I created the show was when I was in the market back in just January of this year, just 4 months ago. And as I mentioned, I'm not a Tesla expert by any means. I just wanted to aggregate the information for those of you that are in a similar position that I was in. Either you are like myself in January, you're in the market, you're a prospective buyer, you've done tons of research, you're just listening and looking for that last bit of information that perhaps you can gather. I think a podcast's a perfect way to do it, so that's what we're here for. But also those of you that just geek out and love Tesla information in general, or are, like myself, Model Y owners at this point, and you just want to learn what's going on, what's new, what's going on in full self-driving, any updates, you know, the Juniper Model Y refresh, weekly, as I've done. I'll keep putting out episodes. Again, comment on this episode over on Spotify. Even if you don't listen on Spotify, there's an open text box. You can leave your feedback, not even in a review form, just simply it goes straight to me. It's not published anywhere. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know what you want to hear in future episodes, what perhaps you want to hear more or less of. Outside of that, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for the time.